We're continuing our studies in the book of Romans, and we're still in chapter 11. And I would like for us to look this morning at verses 12 through 15. Verse 12 beginning. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. If by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall by the receiving of them be but life from the dead? This lesson this morning is really basically informational. There's application here in the fact that there is a realization that as Gentile believers, those of us who are Gentiles, there was a time when we were excluded from the offer of a heavenly inheritance. That offer was only given to the nation of Israel. But because Israel rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah, that door has been opened to us. But during the book of Acts, it seems that the Lord and Paul and others were provoking the nation of Israel that rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah to provoke them to jealousy. They knew that there was something that was only offered to them, and here Gentiles are now having an opportunity to qualify to having a heavenly inheritance. The nation of Israel knew that Gentiles who lived among each tribe would have an inheritance in that tribe here on the earth. But Jesus Christ, when He came, He was not offering that to the nation of Israel, because that had already been offered. And they were expecting it, and they're still expecting it today, I'm sure. But the Lord was offering to the nation of Israel a place in the heavens to rule and reign with Him. But they had to produce the fruits thereof. Salvation is not based upon performance. In other words, if you are behaving, you're going to make it to heaven. That's not the way it works. If you know that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior, Jesus Christ died that you might believe that His death would put you in the family. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're born into the family of God, and that can never change. But here in this passage of Scripture, it's talking about the fall of Israel. In verse 12, now if the fall of them, that is talking about the nation of Israel, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, pardon me, how much more their fullness? Now, I struggle with Romans like many do when they're teaching this book. And in this verse, the personal pronouns them and their have a reference to the nation of Israel. And yet the word world is there as well. And we know that the nation of Israel fell away by rejecting Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And we know that one day they will be renewed. But their renewal will simply be an earthly renewal and not a heavenly renewal. The whole nation of Israel is not going to be in heaven. They're going to be here on the earth. And so I can appreciate the fact that Israel being set aside, and what was offered to the nation of Israel only at one time, now being open to the Gentiles, is going to affect the whole world. Today, missionaries are going around the world, and they're presenting Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And yet, in this passage that I just got through reading, we have another reference to the world that may be a reference to a unique group of people. And I hope that we can, I'll share with you what my thoughts are on that, and then we can go on. I was telling Gene that some of the verses in this passage of Scripture are kind of the verses that you you put your head down and you read them and you go on. But that's not my nature. My nature is to wait on the Lord till He provides some light and help. And I'm so thankful that He has done this for me faithfully. And so, anyway, I want to for us to look at these verses in the light that we have. Well, we know that the nation of Israel fell away. The word fall in this verse 12 comes from the word to fall away, which is only found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6. It's impossible to renew them again to repentance, those who have fallen away. And this doesn't have anything to do with salvation. This has only to do with the inheritance. And the nation of Israel could not repent in such a way as that they would have a heavenly inheritance. Their inheritance would be set for an earthly inheritance and not a heavenly. There was no changing on that. Yet there was a remnant that was still alive in Paul's day that would respond to the message of the kingdom of heaven. And we have already looked at that in the early verses of chapter 11. So we know that the setting aside, the failure or the loss of the nation of Israel became the riches of the Gentiles. The Gentiles now could qualify to rule and reign in the heavens, where they were only at one time qualified, or would be qualified, to have an earthly inheritance. Excuse me. Now, Israel only, now Gentiles. In Acts 11:1, the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the Word of God. This had to do with Peter's encounter with Cornelius. And that the word also is significant. That implies that they had received the Word of God, which is the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And then now, because of Peter's encounter with Cornelius, who was a Gentile, that the apostles and their brethren knew that the Gentiles also had received the Word of God. Also meaning the Jews and also the Gentiles. Now, in verse 18 of Acts chapter 11, it says, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And the word also implies Jews and also the Gentiles. And the word granted means to be allowed to repent, as John the Baptist preached, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus preached that. The apostles preached that. The 70 who went out preached, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this message was only to save people, not lost people. And so that now they are finding out that Gentiles could repent of a life of sin and indifference to God so that it would lead to life in the coming kingdom. This life here, I am not persuaded, has to do with being born from above, but having to do with repentance and life in the kingdom, because that's what John was preaching. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So this is what this is dealing with. It's not dealing with getting saved. You don't repent to get saved. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Then you change your life. Because you don't have any strength to do right. If you're lost and you're trying to get right with God, you got your rocks or your pockets full of rocks and you're just sinking in the ocean quick. That's all there is to it. I'm reminded of just happened to think about the guy on the Titanic. He had a lot of gold bullion with him. And so he filled his pockets full of the gold. And he jumped overboard. And when he did, he went straight down. And so anyway, would be fruitless for a lost man to try to repent. You get saved, then you change your life. Okay? Now, in Acts chapter 14, verse 27, it says here, "And when they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." It's interesting, the door of faith. A door has to do with where you walk. And it says, "The just shall live by faith." The just shall walk in a way that is pleasing to God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And this passage is telling us that the ability to please God is now opened to the Gentiles. Before, it wasn't open to them. They could be saved, but they couldn't live by faith. And now this door has been opened to them. And they are rejoicing in that. In fact, in Galatians 3:14, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. In other words, the door of faith was opened to them that they might get the blessing of Abraham. And by the way, the word blessing is singular. It's not plural. The blessing of Abraham. And that blessing had to do with his inheritance. In fact, in Genesis chapter 28, verse 4, it says, "And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." So the blessing of Abraham had to do with the inheritance. There's an earthly inheritance and there's a heavenly inheritance. And the blessing of Abraham deals with both of them. Now, in Romans chapter 16, this blessing, as far as the Gentiles is concerned, had been kept a secret. In fact, even the kingdom of heaven was kept a secret. In other words, Israel was only looking for an earthly inheritance. And this is something that God kept secret until the Lord came. Romans 16, 25 and 26. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the ages began." This is not the word "world" should be translated "ages." It's plural, more than one. "And is now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the age-lasting judge, made known to all Gentiles for the obedience of faith." In other words, the mystery that was opened only to Israel is now open to the Gentiles so that they can live obediently and by faith, that they can please Him. The obedience of faith includes living a just life. And so this mystery was kept secret until from the ages when they began, and it is now, but now is manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the King James says everlasting God, And the word everlasting is the word age. And so therefore, it's not talking about deity only being lasting in age. But when you see the word God, it can also mean and be translated judge. And so that's what is being referred to here. And this mystery is now made known to the Gentiles so that they can be obedient and continue and to live by faith. Now, in Colossians 1:27, we find also that God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Gentiles has been opened to enjoy the hope of the glory of God in His coming kingdom, which had once been only offered to the nation of Israel, and now is open to Gentiles. And this is talking about my gospel or Paul's gospel. We find a reference to that in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, where it says, He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is beyond salvation. And all of this is to do what? Provide a blessing for Gentile believers as well as to stir up jealousy for the nation of Israel. In other words, just preaching to them did not help them. And so there is a element of jealousy in all of us, and God is appealing to that element in all of us, and it's not all bad. Being jealous is not always bad, for God's a jealous God. And so we think of jealousy is that we need to we would want something better or want something that we have lost. Now, Paul was called by the Lord to reveal His Son in him, in me, Paul said, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul's message did not come with training from the other apostles. It was given directly to him by the Lord. Because the other apostles had been well trained, though not going the way of the Gentiles. Peter struggled when he went to Cornelius' house. He says, it's not lawful for me to be here. But Paul was commissioned by the Lord, or by God, to reveal His Son among the Gentiles, and it says I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now, associated with the Gentiles are associated with the blessing of Abraham, where it says in the Scriptures, and the Scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations or Gentiles be blessed. So, when you read about Abraham in the Old Testament, you're reading about the blessing of Gentiles as well. Because it was through Abraham, or the preaching to Abraham, that we can appreciate the blessing of being a Gentile and yet entering into a blessing that only at one time was offered to Israel. Now, in Romans chapter 11, verse 13, he says, For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, and I magnify my office. So here we find Paul focusing his attention on Gentile believers. And he is saying that I have the authority to do that. This is my office. This is what God gave me. And he was a chosen vessel. In Acts 9, verses 15 and 16, it says, And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And we know that the name of the Lord is associated with the Word of God. And he was to share the Word of God with the Gentiles, with kings, with the children of Israel. And he suffered because of his preaching of the Word of God, which pertained to his coming kingdom. particularly because he was offering it to Gentiles, and the Jews didn't like it. It did work, but it didn't change their life. Isn't that something? It did make them angry, but it didn't change their life. You know, the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God should make a difference in our life. We should change. We should not get angry at God because of what He's doing, but we should respond in obedience and love to Him. So Paul was a chosen vessel. In fact, in Galatians 2:8, we're reminded that Peter was an apostle of the circumcision, where Paul was mighty, was an apostle to the Gentiles. It says, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." Now, in verse 14, all of this is focusing on the fact that he might provoke Israel, make them jealous. Romans 11:14, "If by any means I might provoke to emulation or move to jealousy them which are my flesh," that is, Jews, "and might save some out of them." And I believe that this reference here to saving some has to do with winning them over to qualifying to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. When it comes to salvation, we want to see everyone saved. But we know that not everyone is going to produce the fruits necessary to rule and reign with Christ. Because somebody has told them that they are going to get it, regardless of what they do, which is not the truth. It does make a difference how you live. Now, in Acts chapter 13, talking about Gentiles, he's provoking the nation of Israel by including Gentiles. And in Acts 13:46, it says that Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Paul speaking to Jews. The word of God had to do with the mysteries of the kingdom, and that that message should have been spoken to you first, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. "But seeing ye, that is the Jews, put it from you," in other words, they put the word of God away from them. They wouldn't listen to it. They put it away from them. "And they judge themselves unworthy of age-lasting life." It's amazing. They judge themselves, rather than letting God judge them. They judged themselves that they were unworthy of age-lasting life, and which is revealed in the Word of God. "Lo, we turn to the Gentiles." In other words, this is where Paul is saying, "You Jews, you don't consider yourself worthy of a heavenly inheritance, therefore we're going to turn to the Gentile believer and present their message to them, and they will hear it." I included Luke 8, verses 10 and 11, so that you can see that the Word of God pertains to the mysteries of the kingdom, where it says, "And He said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. The seed was that which the sower sowed. And the Word of God is the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So I'm just showing you that the Gentiles rejoice in the fact that the Word of God was being preached to them. In Acts chapter 13, verse 47, it says, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the end of the earth." In other words, this is quoted from Isaiah 49, verse 6. Those that were worthy of age-lasting life, the Lord said, the Lord had commanded us, saying, "We have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles." The Jews were to be a light unto the Gentiles. And And because of that, thou should be a salvation unto that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth. The salvation can be both common salvation and the so great salvation, it seems like to me. But the Jews were to be a light unto the Gentiles, and it was a pretty dim light, to say the least. Then in verse 48 of Acts 13, it says, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. They glorified the word of the Lord, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." The word ordained is perfect passive, meaning that it happened in the past. They didn't have anything to do with it. It's passive. And the word ordained can also be translated appointed. So when it comes to age-lasting life, it has to do with God's choices and appointments. And they were ordained to what? Age-lasting life. That is the kingdom. Life in the kingdom age. And what did they believe? By the way, the word believed is an aorist tense. They didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in this verse. They believed the Word of God in context in this passage of Scripture. The Word of God is referred to in verse 46. And what they believed is the Word of God and not for salvation. Now, Paul tells us or gives us a little hint about when the offer of the kingdom was being made to Israel in Acts 28, verses 26 through 28, saying, "Go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, or thick, or insensitive, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted or turned." This word "understand" means to put together. I didn't close off the bracket there, but that has to do with putting things together. "And I should heal them or restore them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it." This is the so great salvation that is referred to in Hebrews chapter 2. Now, Romans 11:15, a very, very difficult verse for me, but I'm going to share with you what I have, okay? And because it's the difficulty is in the word reconciling. When I think of reconciling, I was talking to Tom this morning, and I was talking about how that there are times when we have good friends, and then we are not so good friends to the point that we may not even talk to each other. Somebody might hurt your feelings, and then you avoid them and you don't speak to them. But there comes a day when you are reconciled to your friend. That means you were a friend before, you were not friends for a while, and then you are reconciled to your friendship again. So this verse of Scripture here, and let me just read it so that you can get the context here. "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" So the word reconciling has to do with people that were in fellowship, lost that fellowship, and then restoring of that fellowship, reconciling. So if the casting away of them, the context has to do with the nation of Israel. The casting away of the nation of Israel meant For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world. In other words, who is it that's being cast away? It's the nation of Israel. The word cast away is really loss or rejection. Disqualified, because they wouldn't produce the fruits thereof. Being the reconciling or restoring of the world. Well, when I think about the world, we could say that Adam and Eve was the world, and he was in fellowship with God, and then he fell and broke that fellowship, and then being the world, he is reconciled. But this passage of Scripture here has to do with the Jews being cast away and not Adam. And I don't look as God as the Father of all mankind. In other words, we're all the children of God. You ever heard that before? Yeah, I've heard that, and it's not true. We're not all the children of God. To become a child of God, you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So this passage of Scripture, in dealing with reconciliation, it's talking about saved people that have broke fellowship with the Lord, and then they are being reconciled to the Lord. And so therefore I believe and am persuaded that the word world here is a reference to the nation of Israel. Okay? Saved Jews. In verse 23 it talks about branches being broken out of the tree. Those branches that were in the tree were saved. You can't be in the tree if you're not saved. They were broken off of the tree. And then the Lord says, hey, I can graft them back in again. I can put them back in. And and we'll deal with that in a week or so. But it's the saved Jews as a reference to the world. And what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Okay, receiving of the nation of Israel is being reconciled. It's life from the dead. And I said, Lord, what in the world does that mean? I just didn't know what to say about it or what to share about it. But before I show you the answer, I want to just give you verse John 18:20, so you can see where I see that the world is the nation of Israel, okay? Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Jesus did not go to the Gentiles. He went only to the nation of Israel. And he spake openly to the world is a reference speaking openly to the nation of Israel and not to the Roman government or the Romans. Even though Paul was a Roman, he was not a Gentile. He was a Jew. So I associate the world with the nation of Israel. There are times I can see where the world is a reference to mankind. Now, what does it mean to bring the nation of Israel back to life, being dead? Okay? In Luke chapter 15, this is a story of the prodigal son. And it says in verse 21, And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, am no more worthy to be called thy son. Here we find a son being reconciled to his father. Confession of his sin and his rebellion. And provoking the nation of Israel to jealousy can produce this effect of repenting of rebellion. Now let's continue. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. I thought about the 99 that are doing good, and one wanders off, and the Lord goes and finds that one sheep that has rebelled against against the shepherd, and He brings that sheep in, draped over his neck, maybe having broken his leg to keep him from running off again. It says that heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents, than 99 that are just. Though we don't, God is not teaching us to rebel so that they can rejoice over us when we get back. That's not what He's teaching us, okay? But here we find the prodigal son coming in, and the killing of the fatted calf, and rejoicing over this one coming back. And notice what the Father says about him. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. That's what this is talking about here, about the casting away of the Jews, that the reconciling of more Jews might take place, that these Jews being reconciled is being like the prodigal that was dead and is brought to life again. And so I just wanted to, like I said, this is just informational that will help us to understand things as we continue our study. And not always easy, but there are a few answers, and the Lord has been gracious in providing a few of them. Father, I just pray that You'd bless these thoughts to Your honor and glory and our good and profit, and help us, Lord, in the days ahead to use the truths that we have discovered today in our studies in the rest of this chapter. Thank You again for Your watch care over us, and we pray for leadership about decisions that we'll be making in the days ahead. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.